You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Listen, I bought a Porg for Christmas, so I am definitely buying into the Last Jedi hype. And as of last weekend, the movie had made nearly $600 million, with more clearly yet to come. But Star Wars is kind of an outlier this season. The big movie studios haven't had the greatest year, and they traditionally count on the holiday season to round out their balance sheets. So I asked Meg James, the corporate media reporter for the Los Angeles Times, how this year compares to the past.
Well, I think this year there's a lot of pressure on the television networks and on the movie studios to sort of end the year with a bang. It's been a rocky year, although there have been quite a few last-minute movie hits, specifically Star Wars, that is really propelling the box office and Disney's studio.
Yeah, I mean, how big of a deal is Star Wars? Can we view Star Wars as part of a trend, or is Star Wars its own singular phenomenon?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. It's definitely a juggernaut of the First Order.
No pun intended,
although I should say that there was. And also, it's helping sort of prop up the studio box office because year over year, we've been losing a little bit in ticket receipts. So studios, for a number of reasons, you know, want to finish the year off with a bang, primarily because there are more moviegoers, of course, but also to help their own standing in the box office wars.
You know, when I think about ways to spend money, it really is debatable whether you want to go pay for a ticket or put on your sweatpants and stream something. And I guess I'm wondering, do you think the studios have adapted to that environment in a way that is strong enough to protect their bottom lines?
No, and really and truly, that's the key issue for 2017, and it will be the key issue next year as well. The studios are scrambling to try to figure out how to put more butts in the seat in the movie theaters. The quality of the shows on the streaming services continues to excel. This is becoming the real fight for survival in Hollywood, is how do these legacy companies adapt to this fast-changing universe?
It seems like, from my personal experience, that one of the ways that companies are trying to capitalize on this moment is the big themed release, you know, for streaming around the holidays, like the Gilmore Girls reboot or, you know, something that's maybe a holiday movie that is available for a limited time. Are they taking advantage of this window in a way that makes them money?
Yes, it makes them money in that they're increasing their subscribers, and therefore they'll keep the funds rolling into their companies. They'll increase their market cap. They'll be able to do more premium shows. To answer your question, they're looking at this window as an opportunity when people are around, when people are talking to their family members, when people are saying, hey, what show have you seen? Hey, what about the, you know, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon? Have you checked that out? I think that they've been very shrewd to look at just the consumption patterns. And, you know, blockbusters have become not only a thing for the movie studios and the box office, but it's also bled into the streaming wars. And even the television networks are trying to respond.
Obviously, companies that stream things have a fair amount of our data. They see what we watch, what we like, and that can be great as a viewer when you get recommendation preferences. But I'm wondering, when you think about this from a corporate standpoint, are companies more likely to create content that sort of scratches the itches they see from what viewers are streaming?
Well, that's the strategy of Netflix and Amazon. They have gobs of consumer data. They know what you watch, when you watch it. Next year, I think, is going to be really interesting because we're going to see whether or not the government is going to allow at least one big merger, the AT&T consolidation of Time Warner. Time Warner, which owns HBO, CNN, TNT, Cartoon Network, Warner Brothers Studio. One of the reasons why AT&T wanted to buy Time Warner was because it wanted to better personalize advertising and sell advertising in a more efficient manner. Well, what does that mean? It means use a lot of this analytics that they get from your phone use, what you're watching on your phone, to sell advertising that is going to be more relevant to individual consumers. So when you start seeing on your phone, you know, dog food ads, or, you know, maybe you want this costume for your dog, or some other more personal.
Oh, my God. It actually, I suspect that you have been privy to my data because those are the things I buy.
Oops. No. I think when we start to see these ads sort of, you know, stalking us, and stalking is probably the wrong word, but trolling us, I think people are going to sort of say, you know, how much data do they really have? Well, it's a lot.
One other trend that seems to figure pretty largely in both kind of network and studio thinking, and also in streaming services, is capitalizing on nostalgia and reboots of shows or reimaginations of things that were popular in, say, the 80s or the 90s. How profitable is this trend? And do networks do this, especially in the holidays, when we're sort of thinking about who we were as children?
Yes. And this has been a trend that's been building year after year. Several years ago, Hallmark Channel started running movies, nostalgic movies, in November and December, and they would have this huge rating spike. And for a while, all the other television networks would say, oh, Hallmark Channel, you know, it's so wholesome and very un-Hollywood. But then they started realizing, well, shoot, you know, Hallmark Channel has something here. And they started loading up on classics. So it is a theme. They are making money on it. Probably not huge money, but enough. If you can bring back something that's warm and familiar, you can make money on it. And you don't have to have the risk of trying something new that might just fall flat and then lose money on that.
Meg James covers the business of TV and movies for the Los Angeles Times. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lizzie, and happy holidays to you.